us again this year. I will have to say that, you know, you guys are all spread out. We have a pretty small class. Those of you who are in the back, we tend to ask questions of all the people in the back. So you may want to move up first. Well, let's get started. Just in terms of introduction, myself, my name is Kartik Abram. I am a software engineer by trade. I got really interested in apologetics and the whole battle of ideas because of my bent towards logic and reason from my profession, but also because I love to talk to people, especially at my work, and they bring up questions and I want to have answers and point them to the truth. So. That's me, Will Gaines. If you want to say a few words?
Didn't really have anything prepared. it's great to be here and do this. I help out with another ministry called Faith and Reasoning, which is kind of an apologetics ministry as well. And we meet once a month here on Monday nights. And Scott and Karthik and I did this last year, and we had just a lot of fun doing it. We're going to cover a lot of topics, and Scott and Karthik will probably go through kind of the litany of the topics we're going to cover. We're going to kind of go from A to Z through the year. And one of the things about the class, we really want to be engaging. So if you guys have questions, I know a lot of times when you're at a sermon, you know, the pastor's going, Pastor Mike, you can't just stop and take questions. You can't say, well, wait a second, I got a question about that point you're making, you know, about, you know, the resurrection. How can we really believe, you know, or how do I know that the Bible is without any errors, or whatever your question is, but you can do that here. And I think that's pretty cool because there's not a lot of places in church where you can raise your hand and challenge or ask a question or really kind of dig in deep on something. And you can do that here. So we're really excited about this. Thanks for coming out.
Scott?
I'm Scott. I think I know probably half of y'all. Good to see a lot of faces I don't. I work for the Department of Defense with USASOC, Army Special Operations Command. And it has absolutely nothing to do with what we're teaching in this class. The back end of the class is mostly tactical, pistol. No, just kidding. This class is a really big dream for me to see. I see a couple of folks that were here from last year, one of our star students, Ike Morinaga, in the back there. If you've got any questions, talk to Ike because he was on top of it all the time. So we appreciate him being back. And we'll do a little bit more advertisement. And if you know of anybody that wants to come, please do invite. My passion is science and philosophy and theology kind of mixed all together. I think that reality is discoverable through all three, and I think that you have to have all three in order to properly do so. So I love seeking truth, and this class is part of that. I love what Will said. You can question anything. You'll see through Karthik's organization and teaching style, through kind of what I like to think is my free thinking, and through some of Will's particular expertise in some areas that are germane to what we do here, that a lot of the questions that I think... What I hope is a lot of the questions that you grew up with in the church and said, you know, I don't know if I could really justify this part of my faith. Or when I was talking to this philosopher, theologian, atheist, or professor, they were asking questions that just made me feel like I didn't have all my stuff together. This class is about that. So we hope that by the end of this course, you will have asked every question and received a good, solid answer that meets or exceeds the standards that other people are asking you those questions. So that was more time than Karthik was budgeted, but no. That's my penchant. That's my penchant as well, in case you're wondering.
I came prepared for that.
Yes.
Okay. Before we proceed, just as a matter of logistics, this is the third hour. It's pretty close to lunchtime for a lot of you all. So starting next week, we will pass along a sign-up sheet for refreshments. But we would encourage you to just keep it light. In the last year, we did mostly fruits, and I think that was really well received. We don't want to load you up with all kinds of sugar and other stuff just before your lunch and ruin that. Definitely don't want you to walk away with that as your impression. So we'll have a sign-up sheet for that next week. All right? I'm just going to go through the topics that we're going to cover in the class. The class will be from now until the end of May. That is a projected course, Lord willing. And we will have a number of different topics that we will cover over one or more classes. And we really incorporated a lot of feedback from the last class, where we only had about 12 weeks. And so it was really rushed. A lot of things we had to quickly skip over. But in this, and the feedback, overwhelming feedback, was that everyone wanted us to take more time and go deeper. And I think that will be very conducive. So next week, Scott's going to kick us off talking about faith and reason. And I know Pastor Mike has talked about it a lot. We'll probably come at it from a slightly different angle, looking at things like presuppositions, loss of logic, how does faith interact with that? When people say that, oh, if you're a person of faith, you're not a person of reason, is that a false dichotomy? So we'll look at those kind of questions. Moving along, we will look at faith and science. I think this is one place where there's a lot of friction. And soon as you especially start talking about cosmology, the standard model, you all probably heard in the news, they found the God particle. I didn't know God was a particle, but apparently they found the God particle. And so trying to equip ourselves into engaging people who bring those conversations up and leading them back to the truth of the Bible and Christ and how we can actually explain things better from a Christian perspective than from a non-believer's perspective. So that's again going to be Scott. Along the same line, we'll also talk about the whole debate of the origin of the universe, or the origin of life. So we will look at the theory of evolution. We will look at why that theory does not hold up to scrutiny, how we can actually present a case against evolution and a case for a biblical creation. Now, we as a church, I don't believe we have a stated policy, but the elders hold to a young earth creation view, which is a six-day literal creation as it's described in the book of Genesis. We will definitely present that, but we'll also present, for example, intelligent design, what it is and what it is not, how does it fall short of what the biblical creation explains, and what we can use from that towards the whole idea of young earth creation. We will also look at some of the other theories that good, mature, strong believers hold to, things like the framework theory, the day-age theory, generally called the old earth creation framework. So not sacrificing basic elements such as the literal creation of Adam and Eve, but within that, trying to interpret the sixth day in a different way. So we will look at some of those theories as well. So that's going to be taught by Scott and myself. We will look at the whole idea of moral relativism. In our society today, it is pretty bizarre for most people to hear that we hold to something called truth. The pervasive idea is that, oh, that's good for you. You're a Christian, you believe that? Oh, that is so good for you. As in, yeah, that doesn't apply to me. You're a sinner, you got saved? Awesome. I'm happy for you. Like, I found something else, and we're all equally good. And that whole idea of everything being relativistic, we will look at how to engage people who hold that kind of a view and present the gospel. Our end goal in all of this is to clear away the rubble and get to the gospel of Christ. So that will be taught by Will Gaines. Will Gaines will also talk about the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says that if in this life only we have hope in Christ, then we of all people are to be most pitied. And the resurrection is the central argument for Christianity. And Will will talk us through the resurrection. How do we present the resurrection to a non-believer? How do we show evidence for the resurrection? What are some of the competing theories and why those don't hold up? Following that, we will look at the reliability of the Bible. How do we know that what we have today, what we call the Bible, is really true? We as a church hold to the Bible as authoritative in all aspects of our life. The elder board of this church is actually not the decision maker. They're beholden to the Word of God. They have a responsibility to interpret the Word of God and apply that in their life and the life of our church. So we as a church hold to the authority of the Bible. We also hold to the inerrancy of the Bible. And we will talk about how we present some of these things. How do we first understand, for example, take the Gospels. How do we know Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke? It doesn't say that. How do we know that John's Gospel is really John's Gospel? How do we know that those are true? That people bring up questions all the time. There are so many contradictions. In fact, just last week there was news about Jesus and his wife. Right? Mary Magdalene has been declared as Jesus' wife. That's the gospel of Jesus' wife. What do we do about something like that? How do we respond to that? How do we engage in conversation with people who ask us, hey, what do you think if Jesus had a wife, what does that mean? Do you believe that? I found this news article that talked about this parchment that says Jesus has a wife. So we will talk about the reliability of the Bible with specific focus on the Gospels. Scott will talk about the problem of evil. How does a good God allow evil? And how does that affect our faith? I think that's probably the most commonly raised objection. If you believe in a good God, well, it doesn't reconcile with what I see. There's so much evil around the world. So how do we answer that aspect of it? Scott will also talk about two other topics. I don't have a slide for that. The Trinity. Actually, why don't I ask you to explain it? You'll do a better job.
We will, and then into what Karthik's saying, each one of us are going to kind of teach from our own strengths and background. Karthik has got a super solid founding in the Word, a really good theologian. Will kind of bridges the gap, I think, in a little bit between what Karthik and I do. Most of the classes that I'm going to talk about, or the courses of classes that I will teach, do not assume the Bible. So I'm going to start from, forget about the Bible for now. Let's just talk with what we've got logically and that we can observe in nature, and talk a little bit of philosophy, not too much, I promise, and say, can we get to where we need to go without the Bible even being there, i.e., can you meet God without the Bible? It's going to be funny to say this, it's not an unbiblical approach. The early church didn't have the New Testament. They had only the Old Testament scriptures. Guys who were heroes of the faith, like Enoch, didn't have the Old Testament either. Anybody before Moses didn't. So, is it possible for man to meet God without the Bible? Yes. We're going to talk about how that happened and how we can do that today. Because if it happened back then, it can happen today too. Now also, where does the Bible enter into that? We will talk about that. In the more philosophical areas, the problem of evil, most of the ones I'm going to talk about have to do with major objections to theism, Christianity specifically, and say, are these objections good ones? Are they ones that prevent us, should they prevent us from believing the Bible? Should they prevent us from believing Christianity? Because the general idea is this: if everybody in this room really is interested in truth and reality, they should not care about the scriptures in and of themselves. What they should care about is truth. The question is, are the scriptures true? Now, if the scriptures are true, they reveal something that could not be revealed otherwise and therefore are very important. But if they're not true, then they go on the same pile as the Quran or the Bhagavad Gita or a million other holy texts that may not align with the truth. So that's something we're going to talk about. So we will talk about the problem of evil, which C.S. Lewis said was probably the biggest objection to Christianity, which the major atheists today say is the largest objection to Christianity. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Trinity. I think most people in here, if we want to be logical and we want to say we believe things that are true, how can we say God is three things, but he's also one thing in exactly the same time, exactly the same way? That's the definition of a contradiction, isn't it? It doesn't make any sense at all. What we'll talk about is what I believe is the reality of the Trinity, which it does take a bit of time to explain. It can't be done in 5 minutes. But when you lay out what the Bible seems to say about the Trinity and what philosophy says about the Trinity, you'll find that not only is it logical, you'll find out that it is necessarily the case. That if there's a spiritual world, if there's a physical world, and there's a creator, you'll find that there have to be three persons. It would be impossible to do otherwise. So the final topic, which I've now forgotten, problem of evil, Trinity, and this is what happens when I don't have notes sitting in front of me. I'll remember it later. Over to
Okay. We will also talk about two issues that hit our social life. Every 4 years, especially during election season, the whole idea of the debate around abortion rears its head. If anyone is following the news, the Democratic platform has decided that the Republicans have a war on women, basically around abortion. People talk about abortion being a complex issue, being an emotional issue, something I should not engage in willy-nilly. And we will look at how do we, first of all, what does the Bible say about this whole topic? How do we as Christians engage the culture in this holocaust of abortion? And this is really, in some respects, the equivalent of slavery. If you look at slavery, people don't realize that slavery was overcome by Christians first. People like William Wilberforce were spearheading the entire movement. And I believe, and in fact, statistics show that over time, people are becoming more pro-life. And a good part of that is because we are now able to engage people in defending the unborn, and we look at how we do that in a biblical approach, again, keeping the gospel at the very center and present the case for life. Related to that is defending marriage. Our society wants to redefine marriage to be anything and everything, and there are grave consequences that we even see today. I think California is on the verge of passing a law that will make it legal for a child to have more than two parents. That's driven by an alternate definition of marriage. There was a school recently that banned father and daughter dances and son and mother baseball games because that doesn't fit with the new mold of relationships. In the midst of all of this, Christians get caught. We're labeled as bigots for believing what the Bible teaches. And in fact, in a lot of cases, words are taken out of the Bible, twisted, and presented as a positive case for alternate lifestyles. So we will look at that. We will look at what the Bible teaches about homosexuality. We will talk about what the Bible teaches about marriage. We will look at arguments that are presented, and again, in a gospel-centric manner, how do we respond to that? How do we respond to these arguments without getting emotional, without getting nervous? And that happens. And in the past, when I've engaged with people, the first thing that happens is reason flees. They ask me a question, and I'm like, oh, I know I want to punch you because of this question, but I cannot get the words. But if you prepare ahead of time for these things and you go, you can be calm. You can have it in your mind that you are an ambassador of Christ. You want to present the truth, salty speech, but with graciousness. So we will look at those aspects as well. And that's all I have. Before we wrap up the session in May, we will have time for two classes for question and answers. We found that to be very useful from the last class. And then we'll also have two classes where we will have some kind of a debate session. We will either have one of the recorded debates from some of the leading atheists, where we'll show the atheistic perspective and have the class respond in terms of identifying what are the arguments, why they're flawed, and how you would respond to that. Or we may also do some role playing where Scott plays the atheist. He plays a pretty mean atheist.
That's not a very good thing when I'm the best atheist in the room. That can't mean something good. What are you going to do?
Well, okay. Any questions about what I've covered so far in terms of the topics? Anything that you would like to add or clarify? No? Okay. Actually, I'd like to take time to just go through introductions of all of you all, and after that we're going to move into a little bit of small group session. You all should have received a sheet with three questions, and we'd like you to form little groups, or maybe four groups in all, and answer these questions, and then Will will lead us through an exercise through this question. But before we do that, let's just go through introductions. Starting with you.
My name is Sanderson.
Maybe you want to say if you're in school, what grade you were in, if you're in college, and then how many years you've been attending RBC.
Okay. My name is Sandra Smith. I've been going to RBC for probably a decade now. I'm a senior in Temple Mount School.
My name is Michael Johnson. I have also been going to RBC for about 9 to 10 years, and I'm a senior at Chantilly High School.
Hi, I'm Cody Wakefield. I've been going to RBC for about 5 years now, and I'm a senior.
My name is Sarah LaGuarda. I've been coming to Rusty about 2 months, 3 months now. And I'm married to Gonzalo, and I'm working at Merrill Lynch.
Hi, I'm Gonzalo LaGuarda. I work at the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, and I've come to Rusty off and on for about 15 years.
My name is Martha Willis, and I've been attending RBC, well, the women's classes on Thursday for about 2 years now, and this is my first time here in a Sunday school class.
Good to have you.
I'm Alan Ruffner. I've been coming to RBC for about 28 years, so I'm glad to say that this is only the second education or Sunday school class that I've attended. So.
And I'm far. I'm with them 28 years. 30 years married.
I'm Kelly Hoover. I've been coming to RBC for 2 years.
Kristen Kirkman. I just started attending. And I want to say about this is my sixth time attending RBC. And I'm very interested. I heard that this class is going on, so I had to join.
Good to have you.
Dixon, and I've been going to RBC for about a year and a half, and I teach middle school family and consumer sciences.
In the military, we refer to that as an expert in managing chaos. We get consulting from people who teach
middle school. My name is Jennifer. I just started coming here, and I own a court reporting company in Reston.
My name is Vernon Wyatt. I've been coming to RBC off and on since 1994, and I sell commercial office furnishings.
My name is Julia, and I think this is our third time coming. We just moved from San Antonio.
Oh, welcome.
Grandpa.
My name is Scott.
My name is Fitz Sherrick. I've been coming to RBC for several years. I do hydropower licensing for the federal government. I do a diversion.
I'm John Lauren. I've been coming to RBC for about 4 years now. So.
Hey, good morning. My name is Joshua Jones. This is my second week here, so right now I take the prize, I think. I'm really excited about the class. Right now I work here in the Northern Virginia area at ExxonMobil, kind of as an analyst type role. But I'm really excited to learn more.
I've been attending RBC for about 11 years now. I'm a lawyer. So, but coming to RBC.
He keeps us honest.
I'm Leslie Walton with my husband Rob, and we've been attending RBC, I think, about 3 years.
3 years?
Yeah, about 3 years, and I teach at Northern Virginia Community College.
Cool. Well, Rob, well, been here for about 5 or 6 years, so a little bit longer than Leslie. And this is actually my second class as well. And so this is actually my second class in the Rutgers. I've been here for a couple years longer.
Yeah.
And I don't have the time to tell you what I do for a living.
All right, you have a great group here. So what I'd like you to do is split into four small groups, and we'll take about 10 minutes. That's good, maybe 15?
Sure.
And so discuss the questions among yourselves, write out your best answers, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay.
Maybe by migrating to start the line of that
I think that Yeah, maybe that's a good idea.
you can't.
That is the best thing that they're doing. So you're posting as
hey guys, in about 2 minutes, we're going to go ahead and start something else, so just kind of wrap up. Everybody, can y'all come on back now? So we're gonna have a little exercise now, where I'm gonna play the role of a non-believer, and we're just gonna kind of. Where I'm going to play the role of a non-believer, and you guys are going to play the roles of the believers. And you're going to sort of have a little debate with me now as to why Christianity is true. So, I'm officially a non-believer. So I'm not a hardcore atheist. Scott, at the end of the class, will play the role of a stronger atheist. I'm sort of just... if you use a baseball metaphor, I'm kind of a single-A or rookie-A guy here. So I'm just kind of a little bit of a relativist guy who just hasn't come to Christ, right? And I'm wondering, why do you guys believe what you believe? So, anyone want to start off?
Curious, are you an atheist or are you agnostic?
Whatever.
I'm not a Christian. Yeah, I guess I'm not here to say that I know for a fact that Christianity is not true, and I'm not telling you that I can absolutely prove it's false and that there is no God in this, but why should I believe Christianity in lieu of all these other religions? It seems like they all say they're true, right? Mormonism says it's true. Jehovah's Witnesses, they're true. Muslims say that they got it right. Everyone says that they got it right. Christians say they got it right. Why do you guys think you have it right? Go ahead.
So do you believe there is a God?
You mentioned something. I don't know. Yeah. Do you believe there's a God?
I do, but I'm...
Why do you believe that?
Well, I'm curious about what you think.
Oh. Well, I don't really, not being a Christian, I don't really have like an onus to convert people to my way of thinking. So, but I'm curious if you have reasons to believe what you believe.
I guess depending on your values, there's you could go with the argument that Jesus Christ is a real person. There's Jesus Christ was historically recorded.
Did you say depending on your values?
Depending on what you value, you may not care about what's in history. You may care about what Christianity can do for you today, right now, and going forward. And so you may not care that Jesus Christ existed 2,000 years ago, but I think it's pertinent to the argument as to why Christianity might be true. But Jesus Christ existed in history, and he's recorded having been in Israel back at the turn of zero. And
coincidentally.
So he's definitely recorded as being there as existing, and a certain amount of his message existing as well, and that he had impacted that area of the world back then. So
some people say that Jesus never existed.
Right.
So how do you know that that's true?
Those people didn't do any research.
Well, these are
makes
like
feel better to say that.
Some of them are historians. They definitely did some research. How do you know? Like, what's your evidence to support the fact that Jesus did in fact exist?
There's atheist historians, or at least just non-Jewish or Christian historians that have recorded his existence.
Like who?
Josephus. There's at least two other documents that I've read into.
Who's Josephus?
Josephus was a Roman historian.
I think he lived around 700 AD.
He lived.
I think Julius Caesar existed. I mean, you have to go by what's in our recording.
Well, it's a fair question, though, right?
I was comparing to another something else.
There's more references to that's the Bible. I apologize.
So let's say this. So maybe Jesus Christ did exist. Yeah, Jesus of Nazareth. And maybe he was a real person. Maybe he was in first century Palestine. I don't doubt that Joseph Smith existed, right? I don't doubt that Muhammad existed. I don't doubt that Buddha existed, right? But why should I believe that Christianity is true? I need a little bit more than that. Anybody else? What you got? Were you going to say something?
Oh, yeah. The scriptures testify. The Gospels are legal documents. There's
legal documents?
Yeah, there's all kinds of evidence of people that witnessed Christ and they testified to him, people that saw him after he was resurrected.
I don't understand what it means that there are legal documents. Were they drawn up by an attorney?
Lee Strobel wrote the book, The Case for Christ. And, he was a court reporter. And he, a legal reporter, and he went in and he looked at the evidence that's in Scripture, and it would stand up in any court.
You're saying they're reliable documents.
Very reliable, yes.
But they make all sorts of supernatural claims.
Sure.
So why should I believe the supernatural aspects to it?
So do you believe there's a God?
I'm not sure. Why?
Okay.
Do you?
Well, I woke up this morning, and I looked out and I saw the sun. Now, isn't it amazing that in all of the universe, or all of the universes that we are aware of, that the intricate balance between the sun and the earth and the atmosphere that surrounds the earth, and the fact that it spins, keeping the gravitational pull just exactly right for us to live and thrive on, doesn't exist anywhere else.
I think it's amazing. In fact, I think science is amazing. In fact,
science has
figured out so many different things that we ascribed to supernatural reasoning before, and I think it's just amazing how science has figured out, like, for example, everyone used to think that the world was flat, right? But science has figured out that it's round. But a lot of times we ascribe all sorts of supernatural explanations to basic things that happen in nature, but now we know how they occur.
Absolutely.
Like, we thought thunder was the god of Thor. So I think science is amazing. Absolutely.
Which I still think would be cool if that were true.
Well, the amazing thing is that all of the scientific fact that we've gathered thus far points to the fact that that God created us. He created this universe that we live in. He created the earth that we live in. He created the molecules that build our bodies.
Well, if that's true, how come the great bulk of scientists don't believe in God?
Well, they haven't done the research.
Seems like they've done the research more than the non-scientists.
I'm curious about that statistic. Do you really have that? I mean, are you just playing a part?
I've heard that.
Because you throw that out like, you know, you put the onus back on us to defend your background.
Sure.
And you say the majority of scientists
okay,
don't
so
believe in God.
I don't have a statistic to refer to on that. I'll admit that. But when I read scientific stuff, it seems to be an overwhelming non-religious element to it. So,
well, can I address that?
Oh, sure.
I actually feel that you may very well be right. The fact that there are certainly many scientists who don't believe in God.
In fact, most Christian scholars I've read say that as well.
To me personally, it boils down to the fact that if I believe in God, then it means that I'm really not in total control. And the inverse of that is, for me to be in total control, control of my world, control of my universe, means that I really can't believe in God. And I think that's an escape that many people take.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm in total control either. Go ahead.
I think that this is a recent phenomenon about scientists not believing in God, because like in the 17th and 18th century, they did. There was no competition between them believing in God and them believing in science.
But we've learned more and more, and it seems like the more knowledgeable the scientists become, the less they believe in God.
I don't think that's necessarily true, because I've heard just the opposite, that many scientists, not evolutionists, that's different, but many scientists, in fact, most scientists do believe in creation and the creator. Look at Einstein, who's, we consider him one of the most brilliant scientists of our
day. Yeah, I don't think he was a Christian, man.
Yes, but he did believe in a creator, and there's been documentation that he did believe in a creator.
Yeah, that would probably be subject to argument.
I mean, are we just coming at this from like a scientific point of view? Because I guess I'm just thinking like, okay, even if you want to know like in terms of, okay, there's the sun coming up and the different things that you can prove, it's like, what's the point? Like, okay, we get up, we wake up, we go to work, we do this day in, day out, and then to be morbid, we're going to eventually die. Like, scientifically, like, was there some kind of, if this is all part of science, was there some kind of plan on what we do after that? Like, even the different religions, if you're, you know, going to self-reflect and have inner peace, like, what's the point? Eventually, you will die. So, I guess, like...
Well, it seems to me, I mean, different religions seem to have different answers to that question. I'm just wondering why you guys think Christianity is the right one.
Well, two things. One, going back to the earth being flat, the popularity of a belief does not give it credence.
Well,
so the fact
that
scientists don't believe it doesn't mean that it's not true. But
sure.
The whole point I wanted to make about Jesus existing was that Jesus existed, claimed to be God, which most religions don't claim a deity in flesh. And that God, instead of living in luxury, lived a life of sacrifice, and ultimate sacrifice in the end, by dying on the cross for our sins, that we might be.
So, Jesus claimed to be God. So maybe I grant you that. Maybe the Bible's reliable, maybe it's not. I don't know. I don't know much about the Bible. So, but there's a lot of people that believe they're God, and we usually put them away in a hospital someplace.
Yeah. Instead of this guy, like thousands of people.
That doesn't necessarily mean it's true. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that you're just practicing a different faith. And by not believing God, you're putting your trust in science and in man. And science and man frequently revise their theories because the evidence bears out that what we thought was true ultimately isn't. But Scripture and the God of Christianity is unchanging.
So it's unchanging. Okay. So maybe I am, but why is Christianity true instead of the one that whatever I'm practicing?
Do you have the answer?
No, that's what I'm asking you. Do you guys have the answer?
I think if we could give one definitive answer, then faith wouldn't be required. We can give you evidence, we can give you reasons, but in the end you have to make an understanding of faith, not an understanding of science.
It actually breaks down to two schools of thought.
Sure.
One is the scientific, physiological aspects associated with why we believe the Bible is true. And there are reams of information.
So why do you guys believe this Bible is true?
Historically. There's a great deal of historical evidence that points to the Bible as a reliable document. As a matter of fact, it's the most historically proven document throughout all of history.
According to Christians?
No, according to all forms of archaeologists, all forms of historians, everybody who studied ancient documents of any shape or form have come to the conclusion that this is not only accurate, but
you said everyone believes the Bible is accurate?
No, I didn't say everyone believes, because that's the other school of thought. There's the physical aspects associated with the Bible, and then there's the moral issues associated with the Bible. So I can tell you that I've been a Christian for a number of years, and I believe that there is a God because of my relationship with God.
But you know what? I mean, I have this conversation a lot of times with a lot of different folks. And when I have this conversation with people who are of the Mormon faith, they tell me the same thing. And if I have this conversation with people of a Jewish faith or of a Muslim faith, a lot of them, they tell me that their scripture is the only true scripture, and that every other scripture is inaccurate, and that they have had a life-changing event within their faith, and that they're the ones who have got it right, and everyone else has got it wrong.
In fact, the same two arguments actually apply. If you look at the historic documentation that substantiates their faith, it's an error. There are problems with it. It does not hold together.
With the other faith?
Yes.
So for what's wrong with the Muslim faith?
Well, it contradicts itself throughout the Quran. I mean, we see this problem constantly where the...
Give me a contradiction.
A contradiction is that Muhammad said that other faiths, the people of other faiths, should be allowed to live in peace because the Muslim faith accept that, however they should be taxed. There are other places in the Quran that said other faiths shouldn't be allowed to live in complete faith and in harmony, and that's where we have the problems with the terrorists today, the extremists.
Well, do you know what? When it comes to the Bible, though, and you guys got to admit this, within your faith, there's certainly a lot of people who would make the claim that there's a lot of contradictions, number one, and to include a lot of scholars, right? So that's a pretty big thing. And number two, there's a lot of different interpretations of different theology, right? It's not like you guys have one set theology agreed upon across the board. And if you did, why would there be Presbyterians and Lutherans and Methodists? And I don't even know how many of these things there are, so... So, I mean, a lot of things you're saying about Islam, you could probably say about Christianity.
Right. You know, I think we had a pretty good discussion in our group. And I think what it comes down to is that, like you're saying, just because we can prove to you that Noah existed and there was an ark, I don't think you're going to say Christianity is the best. No religion, whatever you're looking for, is going to have all the answers that you can prove without a doubt in the book. But what I think it really comes down to is your personal experience. If you go out and you give a try to, you know, Christianity or Buddhism or whatever religion it is that you're exploring, and you come to find and you ask these questions, not to a book or to another person, but to yourself, because your religion.
So are you saying
your relationship with God?
Are you saying that I should choose my religion based on the personal experience I have?
Based on personal experiences, you will have. I mean, you have to give it a try, right?
Because I know a lot of people in different faiths who have had good experiences. For example, there's people who are Mormons, who I know, who are really good people. I mean, really good people. And I believe the Book of Mormon says when you're reading it, if you have a burning in your bosom, basically it's a sign from God that he's speaking to you, and that scripture is inspired, and that faith is true, right? And they have that experience. So would you say that they're correct in then putting their faith in the Mormon faith and moving forward with that since they had that personal experience?
Maybe.
Really, so you think maybe there's more than one correct religion?
I don't know. I don't have the
So you're not sure. Okay. Me neither. That's why I'm here.
From personal experience, I was a woman at one time.
You were? Okay.
Not for very long.
Okay.
And personal experience, God will not leave you in some kind of cult. If you've expected, just from personal experience, if you've, first of all, you have to be questioning in your own mind something for you to be wondering what Christianity is about or what any religion is about. And I went from several different types of different religions to finally coming up to a church that was a Bible teaching church.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, I had so much weird stuff running around in my brain, it took 5 years to get just the basics straight.
So why did you decide that Christianity is true? I assume you think that, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Why do I think it's true? Because in my own mind, it has proven to be true.
So personal experience?
Yes.
Okay. So the only thing I'm saying is that a lot of people have personal experiences. So just when I'm talking to folks, I just wonder. Oh, I'm sorry.
I think what you have to come to is who the person of Jesus is and was. He is the center of Christianity. And that's why I think, I don't remember his name, but up there we kept coming back to who Jesus is. Christianity compared to all the other religions, where it stands out is in every other faith or experience that they talk about, they're going to talk about a way, whether it's to get reach nirvana, to have peace, to get to heaven, whatever it may be, it's going to be this, I am putting all of the onus on myself to reach this state, to get to where I need to be. Where Christianity, where Christ is different, is that Christianity says, or Christ has said that we cannot do it on our own, but in our own selves, we can look around us and see we have a broken world. We have evil, we have stuff that goes on. We're not perfect. And so what God has said is he is perfect. And that in order for us to be in his presence, something has to happen. We cannot do it on our own. And that's what kind of sets us apart from others. As others have said, I have to do something, I have to get there. But we can't reach it. So we come to this point of going, okay, so why are we here? What happens when we die? Like, can we get to this place if there is a heaven? Can we be right with God? And it comes down to who is Jesus Christ? And that's where our faith is centered on. And so what it comes to is...
So why do you believe Jesus Christ is who Christians say he is?
The reason I believe he is who he said he is some of the things that I've mentioned, plus other evidence, looking at... You know, looking at history, looking at the fact that he walked on this earth, he was a human being, looking at what he said about himself, what other people have said about him.
So I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but so he walked on the earth, and we covered a little bit of this, because Joseph Smith walked on the earth, so did Muhammad, so did Buddha, okay.
And that's where we get to know, who was he? Was he just a prophet? Was he just a good man? Was he just a nobody? Was he a crazy person? If you look at the things written about him, the things he said, the things his followers said about him, the things his enemies said about him, you come to the conclusion, or at least I came to the conclusion after looking at it, that he did in fact claim to be God, based on what others said about him, what he said.
How do you know that Jesus claimed to be God? Because a lot of people say that he didn't really make that claim.
A lot
of scholars say that.
If you looked at manuscripts written about him, things again his followers wrote, the way they praised him as being God.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at even the Jews when he was crucified wrote above him.
Are you saying that there is eyewitnesses that make that claim?
Yes.
Like who are they?
You can look at Jews, people who lived during that time.
Jews? But the Jews, I mean, Josephus says he wasn't God. Right? Josephus was a first century Jew and a historian. He's considered to be the top historian, the top Jewish historian from the first century. No one's even close. He's written several large volumes that we still have today. And he clearly, in the Jewish culture, clearly disagrees as far as Jesus claims a deity.
And this agnostic knows a lot about first century history, doesn't he?
Yeah. There are other historians.
What's that? I'm sorry.
That was the reason they crucified him, is that he was claiming to be...
They claimed that he was blaspheming and that he was claiming to be...
Well, blaspheming. Wasn't he kind of threatening their authority, though? And wasn't he kind of undermining things? And he turned the tables over, right? And
he said to pay
money
taxes.
Changers.
He said pay taxes.
But didn't he kind of undermine their authority? And he was kind of a threat to their power and their money, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that was the reason that he killed, am I right?
You also said that there's no evidence that he said he was God. He did, in fact, say he was God.
Why didn't I said historian say that?
There again, I think it's because they're threatening their power and their authority. Anyone who threatens power and authority is going to be...
You mean like Josephus?
A great deal of resistance, absolutely. Absolutely.
Eyewitnesses, though, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John could all be witnesses to what Jesus said.
Was Mark a disciple of Jesus?
No, he was the brother.
Was Luke a disciple of Jesus?
It definitely said not Luke. Apologize.
Yes, he was.
Luke was a disciple?
Yes.
During Christ's lifetime?
My understanding.
Was he one of those 12?
No.
Oh, no, he was not. No, you're right. He was a disciple, but he was not one of the original.
Do we have any evidence supporting the fact that Luke was a disciple of Jesus during Jesus' lifetime?
He was actually he was a disciple, but he was not an apostle.
During Jesus' lifetime?
Not positive.
Okay.
No, he was a physician that interviewed eyewitnesses to the accounts, and he gave the gospel is a letter to a ruler of that time detailing what he found to be consistent. Okay.
You guys were excellent. Give yourself a hand.
Yeah, that was, it's a little bit of a setup. It's impossible to convince an agnostic in, 15 plus minutes. And that it can't be done. So the good point is you guys brought up a terrific bunch of points. I thought this class was going to have a ringer or two in it, guys that have been here before and have done well, some guys that know. There are a lot of ringers in this class. That's good to hear. The good news is this. If it felt frustrating because some of what you were seeing was, you know what, I know this, the data's there, but I don't have reach back to it. I can't seem to present it in a way that is necessarily convincing to this guy. You're at a disadvantage because right when you start to gain traction at some point, you go to somewhere else. So it's 15 guys boxing one, and everybody's getting in each other's way. It just happens when you do things like that. But this was really good. Great points identified. So right off the bat, what's the difference between an atheist and an agnostic? Jesus is a historical figure. If he is, if he really was historically there, what would his impact be? Gospels as evidential documents versus just theological writings. Someone brought up a fine-tuning argument. We'll actually go into some detail on the fine-tuning of the solar system. Science points to evolution. Now, someone had asked a question, maybe out of the role a little bit, of where does the data come that most scientists are not believers? The most cited data there is academics. Academic scientists or academic educators, 94% indicate that they do not have a personal belief in a God, including Einstein as an example. We often hear Einstein was a believer in God. Einstein believed in a Spinozan God, which is the universe as God, i.e., Einstein, if you asked him if there was a personal God that you could have a relationship with, Einstein would say no. If you asked Einstein if there was a God, he'd say maybe the universe is God. So somebody did ask a good question of, look, if we're all just going to die anyway, what's the point? That's really one of the major questions. That's why we're in a class like this. That's why we do religion, right? What's the point of this life? All of us know, to quote The Matrix, which is a deeply philosophical, if slightly skewed movie, what is purpose? Is there purpose to what we do? So great things coming out here. Someone already got into some fallacious argumentation indicating that just because a bunch of people believe it's true doesn't mean it's true. We'll go relatively deeply into some of that. I think what you'll find is somebody asked a question of how do you or how can you prove something to someone at a level that they're going to understand and believe? This class is about exactly that. Let's pretend that we're all top-notch biblical scholars in here. You got an agnostic that, for whatever reason, doesn't buy off on Scripture as authoritative. You can argue all day long how great the Scriptures are, and he's already set up a wall and says, I'm not listening to that. What's the secret to convincing somebody of something that convincing them out of a belief that they hold?
Love.
Love is a key part to it. So your personal actions toward them is key. What else? When you love somebody, what are you automatically doing? Are you seeing it from your perspective?
Yeah.
You stand in their shoes. So if you stand over there and you say, the reason this guy believes this is because he values science, he values logic, and he values good writing. Guess how you need to talk to that guy or girl? With using only the evidence of science and logic and, you know, good convincing writing or speaking. How do you go about doing that? We will talk about doing that in this class. In fact, we will do that in this class. I'm ripping through because we're almost out of time. Is that clock correct?
Yep.
All right. This went longer than we thought because you guys were more in it than we thought it was going to happen. That's really good. We'll talk a little bit about other faiths. We may do some of that at the end as well. There are some key problems with Islam that can be matched. There are some key differences between Mormonism and Christianity that are articulable. Somebody did hit on one of the uniqueness of Christianity, one of the things that is unique about Christianity. We'll talk about that later too, i.e. it seems to be the only one that says level of effort doesn't seem to be important. Jesus is a central figure. Why was Jesus crucified? These are all really good things. Karthik's going to put in his password here. We'll talk a little bit of admin. So as a spoiler, the stuff that y'all have brought up, we're going to do three things. One, we're going to explore the gaps that we identified here. We're going to find out where they really are. Two, we're going to do this initially. Later we'll do it from a Christian perspective. Initially, we're not going to do it from a Christian perspective. We're going to do it from within this guy's shoes right here. If I'm this guy, how do I get to where we are today when it comes to truth? And I think what we'll find in the meantime is a lot of us didn't come to Christianity that way. Maybe it ought to be the way that we do, but we never do it. Now, of course, I said that in the last class, and there was a guy here. I pointed to him right off the bat. He's sitting right where this lady's sitting right there. I said, as an example, how did you come to Christ? He goes, well, I was an atheist. I came to church. I examined evidence for about 3 or 4 years. That's the problem when you pray before class that God will do something special. What he did was show me I didn't know what I was talking about. So we will do that from the perspective of the atheist. And the last thing we'll do is we will give you the resources in this class that you'll absorb, take notes, get it on video, get it on audio if you want to go back and practice it. But more importantly, we'll point you to some primary sources where you can say, this is where this thing is. Like I was talking with a Muslim one time. He was like, where are these documents? He goes, have you seen them? I said, absolutely. I've seen this document. It was in this museum right here. I put my hand as close as you could get it, you know, et cetera. So we'll do some of that. All right, over to admin. This is good. Whenever you run close on time, it means it's a good class. To register for the class, why? You don't have to register for the class if you don't want to. The advantage to being on RBC CCB is all the stuff that we're going to post is posted within the RBC CCB environment. So here's how you do that if you have not done that yet. This is the RBC homepage. If you just go to Rest in Bible, this is not the RBC homepage. This is the RBC homepage. If you go to restinbible.org, you can see up here in the bar. You have, from the front page, if you scroll down, over here on the left, you'll see a login. It says community login. If you have a login already, you just log in here. If you don't, this right here says request login. Just click on that. They'll ask you for, I believe, an email, and they'll send you login credentials. Now, what does that let you do? When you go here, after you've requested a login, they send you an email, you send it back. We're just trying to keep people who are being malicious out of a church website, so nobody posts horrific things up on our website by hacking their way into it, et cetera, as much as we can. Hit your request login, get that email, come back when you have it. It may take a day or two, right, Barb?
Yeah.
Day or two at the longest. Put in your username and password. When you do that, what it'll do is take you to this right here, which is Rest in Bible CCB Church, Community Church Builder. It's another website, but it's basically a private website for RBC. What you can do then is under groups, you can go to groups and request to join a group. The group that you're going to look to join is called Solid Ground 2012 to 2013. So you can find the group right here by typing in Solid Ground. Go Run. Solid Go Run will not give you good results. Solid Guard did, yeah. That's, it must have known I was coming. Solid Ground 2012-2013, Karthik Abram is the leader. And it'll bring it up. You click on that group and it'll say request, send request to join. I think it's over here on the right side. It's a little bit off screen. But put request to join the group. It'll generate an email to us. We'll kick it right back to you and voila, you're in. Once you're in this group, what you can see down here are events, messages, needs, positions, files. As an example, the files from this, the audio and video files will be posted in the files section. So I know there are probably five or six more people that were going to be here today that couldn't come until next week. They can view this class once, give us a week to make sure that we get this stuff right. Old guys, technology, you know how that goes. So at any rate, we'll have it posted up here. And this will be how we send out announcements about class. Questions that you guys have answered, we'll put up. One of the things we like to do is at the end of the class, when you have questions, if you write them down or send them in via email, we'll answer those questions oftentimes in this format and post it up for everybody to see, that type of thing. So with that, we're almost out of time. Do we have any last, one more admin announcement real quick. For those that are interested, Will Gaines teaches on how frequently, not every week.
It's once a month.
Once a month on Monday nights, he teaches a real apologetics class. This class is partially what we would call apologetics, but some of it's exploring our own faith, some of it's just reasoning about the things that are the basics of Christianity or the fundamentals of Christianity. His class is what I would call relatively hardcore apologetics class. How do you defend the faith? What we're doing tomorrow, or what Will's doing tomorrow, is we're doing a live debate between a guy playing an atheist and a guy who is a Christian, not playing a Christian.
The audience.
I'm sorry, say again.
It'll be the same thing, you and the audience.
Right, it'll be me and the audience, but there is what's his name not coming? See, this is what happens when I have my details. At any rate, the audience will be very well equipped to do some of the same things you were doing today. However, I will be playing a relatively educated, relatively strong atheist. So you'll hear, if you wish to come to that, some of the hardest objections to Christianity raised there. That is tomorrow night, 7 p.m., in that classroom in the corner. If you went out here and went down to the corner, it's back in there. I think it's room 238. Lasts from 7 till 8:30 or so.
Yeah, maybe not. So if you guys can make it out, then it'd be great. If anybody can, you're welcome to join us. And you don't have to participate, but if you want to, you're welcome to. And Scott will be just doing the same thing I was just doing, but even a little stronger format probably, and we'll have people in there basically engaging him, and it'll be fun. And at the end, we'll kind of wrap it up and do a little summary.
All right, so with that, we are out of time. Here's our last request for you. Don't ever walk away from the class with a question unanswered. Now, obviously, this was about generating questions. This was about identifying a little bit about where we are. So maybe not this class, but if you do have a burning question, come and ask it. But at the end of each class, always come up and ask. Or alternately, if you're not that kind of person, you want it written down, you want to see it that way, send it to us. We will take the time and write you an answer that will answer your questions to this one. This class is about getting answers. If you're not getting answers, we're not doing our job. Final questions from y'all? With that ends our first class. We really enjoyed it. We look forward to seeing you next week. And same bat time, same bat channel.
I'm holding up for that.
Yeah. If anybody wants to sign up for an account, come up. You can do it on this computer. If you've got a second, you don't want to go back home and do it, we've got the page up so you can request a CCB account or sign up.